Welcome back to part two of our episode on toxic relationships.
Last episode, we started talking about toxic relationships and how we recognize them. This episode, we're looking further into how that plays out.
Welcome to Living Fullness, a podcast where you're invited to walk with two unusual friends through the ups and downs of the art of friendship. My name is Stina Constantine.
My name is Father Sean Burns. And together, we explore what it takes to grow real, satisfying friendships, the joys and challenges we face along the way, and of course, becoming a good friend ourselves.
We hope by sharing our learning and experiences, this podcast will serve you in living your life to the full. Padre, would you agree that at some point, if you're in a toxic relationship, that relationship does need to end?
Yes.
So, as a Christian, yep. We're meant to, you know, be charitable. How does that work if we're cutting ties with
right? Yeah.
People.
Yeah. So charity is the governing key. It's not just a case of, right, I'm deleting their contacts, I'm keeping them at bay, they're never... You know, obviously, there might be circumstances where that is necessary. So, say, in the case of abuse, sure, or that sort of thing, you know, a conversation may not be the safe option there. And you know, you literally do have to get out in that circumstance. Mm. But where there is not that same level of danger... where there's a toxic relationship that you know needs to come to an end, and you can see that there is the opportunity to end it with charity that respects your own safety. Mm. well, that's really important. And in fact, even in the situation where you do have to get out of
a terrible situation,
Even there, charity is not absent. Mm. You know, you're preserving yourself, which is a form of charity, and we're actually even then called to desire a change of heart for the person who is the perpetrator. Mm. Even there, charity is not absent. Mm.
Just in the simple fact of not allowing them, the other, to continue that behavior.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. In the case where we can actually have a conversation with this other person, it's important that charity govern that conversation, I think. And we need to remember that we're made in the image and likeness of God. So... once we start to enable a relationship that vitiates that truth, we stop being able to see that truth present in others. Mm. You know, so if I'm enabling a relationship which is toxic, it means that I'm no longer seeing in myself the reality that I made in the image and likeness of God, and I'm also therefore not seeing it in somebody else. It's really important that if we see that toxicity, those toxic behaviors, that we're able to act, recognizing that our own human dignity, our own human worth is based in the fact that we're made in the image and likeness of God, and therefore we deserve more than what is being placed before us in this particular friendship, or this particular relationship, rather. But that will be the service of the other as well. This is why, yes, we are meant to cut ties, because it's only by cutting ties in that situation that we can actually preserve charity. Mm, mm.
And I think we also need to clarify here that when we say cutting ties, it doesn't, like you said before, it doesn't necessarily mean eliminating them completely from your life.
No,
there may be circumstances where that's necessary, yeah, but cutting ties can also simply just mean ending this form of relationship.
Yeah.
This form of friendship or whatever that relationship might have been,
definitely.
There may just need to be a change. It may not necessarily mean never speaking to them, never seeing them again.
Exactly.
But it may just mean having to change the way we interact with them.
Yeah, yeah. So that kind of, that does actually bring us to a question. How do we know when it's time to cut ties?
I guess when we start seeing those things that we talked about before, they're sort of the things to, they're what I call the red flags, you know. They're the red flags of any relationship that really should be making us think about what this relationship is about. But then things like when it feels like it's only a one-way street, when it's only, when you're the only person either receiving, only person receiving in that relationship, or you're the only person giving and the other person is always taking. I think that's there's a level there that where it's not being, where the relationship's not being reciprocated, and when you don't have a to and fro between two people, it will always end up one way or another. There will always be one who will dominate over the other, and there's a level of unhealthiness involved there. So it needs to be able to be free flowing. It doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, it'll be perfect, but if it is leaning towards one way more than the other, then I think that's a point to really reassess. And if it's always leading in the one way, then that's probably the point to cut ties.
Sure.
But also things like, you know, when we lose sight of who we actually are, like if you enter into a friendship and you really lose sight of your values, what you believe in, what you stand for, who you are as a human being, or you put aside your passions, your dreams, your goals, or you have to leave the type of people that you would ordinarily hang out with. You know, in youth group settings, for example, we might have young people who, you know, myself included as a young person, I would hang out with certain Christian people in certain settings, but I wouldn't hang out with them when I was hanging out with other people because it just, you know, I would be putting myself out and I'd be associating with different people and that would make certain people uncomfortable. Well, hang on, if these are the people that I hang out with the most and these are the people that share my values, then why am I changing who I am to be in a relationship with someone who doesn't actually match my values? You know, that's, I think that's a point of question to ask too when we lose sight of who we are.
The whole notion of not, kind of not being seen, really. Sort of being an unseen party in a one-way street, as you say. You know, not having that sense of value.
And also because these people, like, we impact each other, whether we like it or not, we have an effect on each other. We impact each other, good or bad, we do. And so the people that we spend the most amount of time with, they're going to have the most amount of impact on us.
Naturally.
And so if we're not hanging out with the people that share the same types of values that we either have or that we aspire to have, then what kind of person are we actually becoming? So not just who we are in the here and now, but who are we also becoming? And is that the person who we want to be?
We lose who we are. We lose our sense of self.
Our sense of self in the present, but also in who we actually want to be as a whole person, as a human being.
Yeah, for sure. Sure.
What about how we actually cut those ties, though? Because it's one thing to say, oh, well, you know, these are the things to look out for and this is when we should do it. But, you know, how do we actually do that?
needs clarity.
Yeah.
It needs to be
definitely.
100% clear.
Which is hard.
It is hard. You know, particularly if you know, you sort of in charity, you don't want to hurt the other person, and so it's kind of like, well, I need to be clear, but I also need to be charitable. And sometimes we're not necessarily all that good at matching those two. Like, I need to be clear, but I also need to be charitable. And sometimes charitable just goes and clarity remains, and everything's very, very clear, but
it's very harsh or very rude or very
and look, I mean, you may not be able to eliminate all harshness, because to some degree it also depends how something is taken depends on the person who receives it as well.
Yeah.
So it you know, you may not be able to eliminate all harshness, but to the best of our ability, we should aim to be both very, very clear, but also to have a sense of charity as well.
Definitely. And I guess with that difficulty of having that clarity too, I think we have a, you know, you said that it's, we tend to have situations where charity disappears and we are left with only the harshness that comes with it in attempts of being clear, but we can also have the opposite. And I think we see that a lot more where we, and perhaps that comes with being fearful as well. But where we think, oh, well, actually the most charitable thing to do is to not say anything at all, because I wouldn't want to hurt their feelings. Yeah. I wouldn't want them to be upset. I wouldn't. Yeah. Actually, if you truly love someone, sometimes you have to have a hard conversation with them.
Yeah, that's right.
And when you see an injustice happening, you know, sometimes a difficult conversation needs to take place.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right.
That is charity.
exactly. It's having the charity to have the difficult conversation, and to have clarity, but in that clarity, to not forget the charity that you said.
sounds like the start of a rap.
That's right.
Oh, we should play that one back.
Yeah. That's me. I'm a rapper from the vault, of course. Dear. How do we actually, like, what would be a template for that?
So there is a template that I sort of somewhat use. Adapt it to make it suit your situation. But it's essentially approaching a conversation and saying and talking from your experience of it, which I think most people, especially with my counseling experience and whatnot, if we approach any situation with here is my experience rather than an accusatory tone or wording that suggests that the fault lies in someone else, it can feel very much like an attack when we start with here is what I've noticed that you're doing wrong. It can be very accusatory. So instead, if we start with, well, here is what I've noticed is happening. This is what's happening from my experience. And if this is a true friend, if it is someone who actually cares about you, they will give you the time of day to voice what your experience is, to actually hear you out. And then to express that this is how you feel about the situation, and then to also say, and I'm not okay with it. It's okay to say, you know, here's what I've noticed. I've noticed this kind of behavior. This is how that makes me feel. And I've also decided that I'm not okay with that. And then to say, and this is what I'm going to do about it. Not this is what you need to do about it. No. This is what I'm going to do about it.
Yeah. I really like that. I really like it.
Oh, good.
And one of the reasons I like it so much is that not only is charity included, made it sound like batteries included, didn't it?
Double A.
Double A batteries included. Not only is charity included in this, but precisely because it's included, it actually gives the other person the opportunity for reflection. As you rightly pointed out, when you take an accusatory tone, what normally happens is that the person will kind of recoil and be like, well, I haven't done that. Or, you know, whereas if you speak from your own experience, then it allows somebody to go, well, this is what, you know, this person is experiencing. Is this an opportunity now for me to reflect on my own behavior and think about why she's experiencing that? Now, what have I done that has actually caused that experience that she's not okay with.
Mm.
And that doesn't mean that that's always going to happen, but there's the opportunity for it to occur.
Mm.
Like, that's what's so marvelous about this this template.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, good. What about when we experience this with another friend? So we're not necessarily the person who's in that toxic relationship. Because I think sometimes, especially for a lot of my female friends, I can see a toxic relationship between her and somebody else, often a lot clearer than what I can see between myself and someone else.
You're okay.
So I find it a lot easier to be able to go, oh, that's not good for you, when it's someone else than when I myself am in that relationship or in that friendship. So what then?
Yeah, that's a it's a tough one.
And yeah,
it's because I suppose the foundational thing is always comes back to that principle of charity that you know, we have to show love for the other. Similarly, I think it requires clarity as well. You know, when you've got a friend who you care about and you see them in a toxic situation, it's incumbent upon us. You know, it's a responsibility that we actually have, which is part of love, really. It's taking responsibility for someone else. It's a responsibility that's upon us to say, look, you know, I've seen this, you know, and so I think, yep, it has to be motivated by love. It's got to be, you know, with their best interest at heart, with the desire for the very best for them. It needs to be spoken with love, you know, mercy and compassion. We're not going to be rude. We're not going to be, you know, kind of cruel about it or excessively harsh about it. We need to be honest. We need to be charitable. And I think the template that you've proposed for having that conversation ourselves with somebody who is that we're experiencing toxic behavior from is a template that we can kind of put over.
Mm. Yeah, okay.
So, you know, here's what I've noticed. This is how I feel about it.
Mm.
This is not okay.
Mm.
And then this is what I intend to do. But as you've said, in previous conversations that we've had, you know, this is what I intend to do. Basically means I intend to stick this out with you.
Mm.
You know, and we've got to be so careful not to overstep the mark.
Oh, so true. Yeah. So true.
Yeah.
Like in the friendships that I've seen with people, I certainly know that there have been, you know, deep protective emotions that have come out. You know, I just want to shield my friend from this person who has these toxic behaviors that they're sort of putting out towards my friend, and all I want to do is remove her from that situation. But I'm not the person who's in that relationship. It is not on me. It is not up to me to make that decision. I can't take away her free will like that. That's not okay.
Yeah.
And so the most that I can do is express what's going on for me, and to assure her that I will be here. You know, this is probably going to be really rough for you, but I will stick this out with you.
Yeah, yeah. I think the follow-up sort of question to that needs to be, all right, what do you think about this?
Yeah.
You know.
Definitely.
Tell me what's, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Yeah, good. Well, that's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we put a lot in there.
That was a heavy conversation.
This is probably a longer conversation and a longer episode than what we've had so far. But I think it was one that we wanted to,
yeah,
to pull together, and we wanted to give it the time and space to breathe, but, you know, toxicity,
it's not the happiest subject.
It's not the happiest subject. No. But tell you what is happier, though. Truth, beauty, and goodness is happier.
Hey.
So, Padre, every episode we're trying to end with reflecting back on our week, on a moment that we've experienced truth, beauty, and goodness. Just because friendships are meant to help each other towards becoming better human beings and forming better relationships, especially for Christians, better relationship with God. So for us, that also means being grateful for the gifts that we're giving. And that includes being aware of the different moments throughout our day and our week where we actually experience the beauty and the marvel and the awesomeness of different elements of truth, beauty and goodness. So, Padre, have you thought about?
I have.
Okay.
The last week I've been in a sick bed, and I made the joke earlier that, you know, they sort of left food outside of the door and were, you know, sort of latching the door up and you know, don't share your germs with us, please. But in fact, they're not that bad at all. And particularly my rector, the guy who is in charge of the seminary, who I answer to, he shows a terrible amount of kindness.
Terrible amount of kindness.
I suppose that's a bit of an oxymoron, isn't it?
An incredible amount of kindness.
He shows an incredible amount of kindness and you know, sort of ensures that you know, I get a meal or that I you know, am looked after and have what I need. You know, do you have enough Panadol? Do you have this and that? And so he's very fatherly in his own way, and I saw that that goodness in him.
Oh, yeah. Bless. That's beautiful.
How about for yourself, Stina?
Well, I had a few. One was actually this morning. We were all together and we were praying together, and there was this young family that walked in, and this family had a very young child, under one. And during the sort of prayers that we were having, this child was just, you know, I don't know what the child was, you know, trying to communicate, but was just, you know, making a few noises here and there. And it was just refreshing in this adult voice, all these, you know, adult voices that were praying together. And then there was this little child that just every now and then would make these little noises.
It's kind of cool.
Oh, it was kind of cool. But I had this moment of going, oh, wow, like it was just so delightful. And then I thought, oh, wow, this must be what it's like for God to hear us praying about something.
Oh, what a lovely thought.
Something, you know, that might be very insignificant for us. For him, it might not be such a big deal in the scope of our life, but it's a, you know, it might be a significant thing for us in that moment, or maybe not. You know, maybe it's a simple request that we ask, and perhaps he delights in the tone of our voice when we pray.
God, teach me how to walk and listen to my baby talk.
That yeah.
A line from Francis Thompson, he thought that was the same thing.
Yeah, right. There yeah. you go. Yeah. Francis Thompson.
Yeah, great poet.
Noted. Look him up.
Wrote The Hound of Heaven.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, joining the dots. Yeah. Cool. Thanks, Francis. Thank you so much for joining us for this week's episode. If you enjoyed it and found it helpful, please rate our podcast and share it with someone. That just might help someone else find this podcast too. So that we can best serve you, we want to get to know you. Let us know your thoughts, comments, and questions either by joining the Living Fullness Facebook group at Virtue Ministry or our Instagram page, also at Virtue Ministry. We'll catch you again on Wednesday next week for a new episode on Living Fullness. Until then, know of our love and prayers.